You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning and welcome to Life Talk. I'm Mary Louise Curry, the Director of the Respect Life Office of the Archdiocese of Chicago, and we're discussing issues that make a difference in your life. And my friends, we have a really exciting lineup for you this morning. Not only great guests, but really stimulating topics. You are going to really enjoy this program today. First of all, the Illinois Parental Notification Act. Currently in our state, a 14-year-old needs permission from a parent or guardian to receive an aspirin at school, for example, or to go on a field trip, but not to get an abortion. 70 to 80% of Americans think that is wrong, and it's understandable. Abortion, obviously, no matter where you stand on the issue, and obviously we stand for the gospel of life, but no matter where you stand on the issue, you know, you can see that that's a decision that comes with lifetime consequences, possibly physical, certainly emotional and spiritual. There are beautiful programs like Project Rachel to help women and men to receive Christ's forgiveness, but still, what a huge decision to make for anybody of any age, never mind a teenager, a 14-year-old. So we are going to look today at what's happening with the statute that's been sitting on the books in Illinois for years. There was a recent ruling a few days ago, in fact. What was it and where does this statute stand? We'll be talking about that in a moment. Also, HB 5615. This is a new bill that is in the Illinois General Assembly, and it's actually I think the most extreme, not just abortion on demand bill, but also infringement of rights of conscience and everything else. What is going on? What does this bill say? There's been a similar bill that's been introduced in New York. Bob Gilligan from the Catholic Conference of Illinois is going to be talking with us about this bill and also about the recent ruling on the Parental Notification Act. And then later, friends, in this show, we are just covering the gamut today. Women's History Month. It's this month, and it's going on, and this is very relevant to the Respect Life Office in looking at the legacy of the early feminists. We have Deirdre McQuaid, the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops spokeswoman for pro-life, on the program to talk with us about Women's History Month and how this relates to the early feminists and our pro-life stance today, talking about a new authentic feminism, this new wave, a movement. It's just sweeping the country with all these young women, and Deirdre McQuaid. That sounds very Irish, doesn't it? And she's going to be with us talking about that. She's into Irish music also. Great young woman. So she'll be discussing that with us later in the show. But first, I'm very excited to introduce Bob Gilligan. He is the executive director of the Catholic Conference of Illinois. And recently in the Chicago Sun-Times, Pam Sutherland of Illinois Planned Parenthood said that the Catholic Church was, quote, a force to be reckoned with on life issues in Springfield. And that is, my friends, because of this man, Bob Gilligan. Bob, welcome to Life Talk.
Well, thank you.
Thanks for being on the show with us today.
Oh, you're welcome. It's good to be here.
Great, great, great. Well, first of all, I want to make a big plug for our big conference that is happening this Saturday that you're going to be speaking at, Humani Vitae Celebrating 40 Years. And what we're talking about today, friends, you know, this isn't a long time on this show to get into in-depth issues, but you can hear more about all of what we're chatting about today, and especially Bob's presentation at our conference this Saturday. And we're going to be still accepting registrations for that. The conference features Peter Kreft, Cardinal George, Deirdre McQuaid. It's going to be a terrific event. And if you'd like to register, you can call the Respect Life Office at 312-751-5355, or you can log on to www.archchicago.org and download that flyer. Again, that's www.archchicago.org. It's going to be a great event. And Bob, you're going to be speaking at this event.
I will be there. Yep.
And what are you going to be talking about?
I'll be talking about some of the same issues we're going to be talking about this morning, this bill, House Bill 5615, and some of the other things that are going on at the state capitol here in Springfield. A very snowy Springfield, I should add.
Are you kidding me?
No,
you guys
have
snow?
5 inches in the snow on the ground here.
Wow.
Yeah, believe it or not.
Wow. Now, Alicia Torres, who is our producer this morning, just sent me a message that you want to talk about the Green Bay Packers. What is going on here?
I thought we were talking about Brett Favre's retirement. But,
well, being a cheesehead myself, you know, of course, I would
right.
like to. I know I was surprised about that, you know, and you know, being a married woman to a man who is an avid Bears fan, I've become a convert, but I don't know. That's great. By the way, some of our friends may have a question or comment. Give us a call, 312-751-1979. I anticipate we may have a lot of questions on this first topic we're going to talk about, which is parental notification.
Or lack thereof.
Exactly. Currently in Illinois, you know, Bob, I know that your wife is a teacher, and in some school districts, a student needs a parent's permission even to receive a cough drop.
Yes.
And yet, now, in our state currently, we have a situation where a 13-year-old girl can be brought in for an abortion by a significantly older man who could be exploiting her sexually and not have any parent or guardian even know about this.
Yeah.
There's been this law on the books. There was an injunction placed against it because the rules had not been put in place by the Supreme Court of Illinois.
Right.
Now the Illinois Supreme Court put those rules in place. We were expecting the injunction to be lifted. What has happened?
Well, we came close, and probably to continue that football analogy, we were probably on the 5-yard line looking to go in for a touchdown, and unfortunately it looks like the game was called off by some other force.
Okay.
You know, Mary Louise, you're right. Really, and you know, I should probably harken back to an earlier comment you made about the Sun-Times article about Pam Sutherland's comments about the Catholics being a force in terms of our advocacy. And, you know, a large part of that, I think we saw demonstrated last year in the whole debate about House Bill 317 and an attempt to roll back a parental notification statute there, and our ability to win that battle, sort of, if you will, on the ground by grassroots advocacy. And that's credit to you and the other diocesan coordinators that we can get our word out to legislators in a very quick and timely manner. And I think we're getting better and better at that all the time. Going back to what's the current status of the parental notification situation is we received the setback that you alluded to earlier when Judge Kaur, it was in his court, he refused to lift the block that was on the parental notification law. The Attorney General had asked to lift that that requirement, and the judge did not do it. He is a federal district judge, Judge David Kaur. And he said that the reason was the law didn't make it clear on how a minor could obtain an abortion. So it's a very frustrating setback in terms of what the judicial branch of government has done to this issue. But I do think that just makes it all the more important that we become even more active on the legislative branch, where we do seem to have an impact.
Yes.
We've been able to do a lot of good things with our ability to hold back an attempt in the judicial branch in the legislature last year on 317 when they tried to roll back the parental notification. We defeated it. And I think for a lot of listeners out there, they also know that a couple years ago we were able to defeat the embryonic stem cell bill for years on end.
Yes.
And to, you know, it was only there also that another actor, the governor, came in and stepped in and thwarted our efforts. So, you know, we do pretty good on the grassroots level, and I think it's important that we keep up that advocacy because, you know, in time they're going to run out of these options.
Yes.
And I think we just need to keep our pedal, you know, our foot on the pedal and keep going straight forward, and I think we're seeing results.
Absolutely. Some of our listeners may have a question or comment. You know, maybe you're thinking, well, you know what, you know, you're interested in some of the specifics of the decision or whatever that might be. Give us a call, 312-751-1979. We're talking with Bob Gilligan, the Executive Director of the Catholic Conference of Illinois, about the Illinois Parental Notification Act and coming up some information on a new bill that I'm sure you will be very interested to hear about. Stay with us, friends. We'll be right back here on Life Talk.
You're invited to watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Here's host Graziano Marcheschi.
Hundreds of church leaders pack Guerin High School for a question and answer session with Cardinal George. We have some of the highlights from Parish Leadership Day. And students from across the Archdiocese celebrate African American heritage at a special Mass at Holy Name Cathedral.
For several interesting stories about the Archdiocese, please watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Radio TV for the time and cable channel in your area. That's www.archchicago.org. The Church, the Cardinal, and You. Compelling television about your Archdiocese.
Celebrate our Catholic faith in the land down under. Pope Benedict XVI is calling young people from around the world to join him in July 2008 for World Youth Day in Sydney, Australia.
This vibrant celebration features popular Catholic musicians, catechesis by our bishops, including our own Cardinal Francis George, and an overnight vigil mass with the Pope.
Call the Office for Catechesis and Youth Ministry for details on this once-in-a-lifetime spiritual journey.
The number is 773-388-8674. That number again, 773-388-8674. Join 1 million young Catholics in this global expression of Catholic faith.
Hope to see you in Sydney next July.
The cemetery ministry is a core ministry of our Catholic faith tied to the corporal works of mercy. Cardinal George says, "It's comforting to know that our Catholic cemeteries are caring for the remains of our loved ones awaiting the resurrection. There are 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries willing to help you during times of loss. Call 708-449-6100 for assistance. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
The Gospel of Life. That's what we're talking about right now, friends, here on Relevant Radio, 950 AM. And I'm Mary Louise Curry, the director of the Respect Life Office at the Archdiocese, talking with Bob Gilligan, the executive director of the Catholic Conference of Illinois. And we're talking about specifically the Illinois Parental Notification Act, and then getting into another bill that's happening here in Illinois right now that I know you'll be very interested to hear about. And before we go on, Bob, I just want to make a quick shout out to Brian Brock, who is usually the man behind the glass making all the engineering things happen here, and he recently had a baby. Oh. So, Brian, if you are, congratulations to Brian and his wife, if you guys are listening. And I guess now there's a little Anthony Brock running around, so that's maybe a little scary, but very exciting. No, I'm just teasing Brian. So, anyway, I wanted to congratulate him, and we're honored to have Jim Dish behind the glass today then for us, filling in for Brian. He has had a great career in the media industry, and we're blessed to have him at the Archdiocese. He's a real innovator with podcasting and all sorts of great things happening here. So thank you, Jim, for being with us today. So, Bob, this is just stunning. This recent ruling upholding the injunction that's placed on the Illinois Parental Notification Act. And that means that the act, you know, it's still going, but basically, you know, it's not able to be implemented.
Right.
My understanding, I'm not an attorney, but my understanding is that most the attorneys who have looked at this have said this decision is very vulnerable to appeal.
Right. And I think it's up now to the Attorney General to ask for an appeal.
Mm-hmm.
That's my understanding.
I wonder if it would be interesting if she did not. Of course, I wouldn't anticipate that. I would anticipate that she would appeal it.
Mm-hmm.
But if she didn't, it would be interesting if we could have plaintiffs, parents of teens who feel that this bill infringes, or this decision, rather, infringes on their rights. Sue, I don't know.
If they have standing, I suppose.
Exactly,
yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. It would be interesting to see that. But, you know, these parental notification, though, and consent, even, which is a step further, these types of laws have been deemed constitutional for decades. I mean,
right.
1992, the Casey decision by the Supreme Court, even just recently with the Ayotte decision, which was a much stronger parental consent issue. I think that was decided in 2005 by the Supreme Court. So, I mean, these have been upheld all along. So, but I think, as you point out, we need to be encouraged, you know, even though this is definitely discouraging and kind of, you know, certainly unexpected, I think. We should be encouraged by the tremendous successes we've had, for example, last year in holding off that bill to gut parental notice.
Yep. I think you're right. You know, and I talked about the embryonic stem cell bill as well. And it seems like, you know, even though I don't think one would term the General Assembly in Illinois right now a pro-life, it seems that when we come up with reasonable, common sense restrictions on abortion, that we're able to make some headway down there, or at least, you know, retain what we have on the ground here in terms of the legislative debate. And now it seems like for the second time we've had, you know, like I said, another actor like Judge Kaur refusing to lift the injunction from the judicial branch, or the governor from the executive branch come in and change, you know, the decision. But I do think, though, Mary Louise, like, you know, making the transition to this other bill, House Bill 5615, I think what you're seeing is just this, which is with the presidential election going on, and I think Planned Parenthood in particular realizing that they are only one or maybe two justices away from Roe v. Wade being overturned, they are now trying to set the groundwork in some states such that if that does happen, they'll be prepared on some of the states to retain abortion rights.
Yes.
You've seen the introduction of both in Illinois and in New York of this Reproductive Justice and Access Act, and really what they're doing, I think, is they're anticipating that that Roe v. Wade could get overturned if, for example, I think now we know John McCain is the likely nominee for the Republicans, and I think most people would agree that the likelihood of his appointing a strict constitutionalist is probably more likely than if either Senator Obama or Senator Clinton were to win.
Right.
So I think what you're seeing now is kind of once again a run to the states.
Yes, yes. Those are some great thoughts, deep insights, Bob. By the way, we're speaking with Bob Gilligan, the Executive Director of the Catholic Conference of Illinois, here on Life Talk on the Catholic Community Faith, Relevant Radio, 950 AM. Give us a call with a question or comment. You know, maybe you're really mad to hear about this decision that, you know, the injunction has not been lifted on the parental notification. Maybe you just need to sound off. We're here for you. Give us a call, 312-751-1900. Or maybe you're more interested in knowing, hey, what can I do now with this next bill coming up? We'd love to chat with you, 312-751-1979. Now, Bob, you make a good point. I think a lot of people don't know that if Roe v. Wade is overturned, they think that that abortion will be banned, basically.
No, right.
But that is not the case.
Right.
The issue goes back to the states.
Right.
And currently, in 43 states, abortion would still be legal, I believe, is the analysis of Americans
that
United
right.
for Life. But there would be more significant restrictions. And, you know, basically it just makes sense. I mean, Roe v. Wade is so extreme and forcing its will upon the people in every state. So I think that what we would see is when Roe is overturned, and I say when, then the issue will return to the states. So tell us about this Bill 5615. I've never seen anything like it. It's the most extreme kind of legislation. I mean, I'm shocked. This would be like us introducing a total ban on abortion.
Right.
Absolutely. I mean, that's how extreme this is. On the other side, I was just shocked that even the audacity to bring this forward and how many legislators are wanting to be associated with it.
Yeah, it's a little concerning. I think we're up to, I can't count. I think we're up to 22, 23 co-sponsors of this bill. And that's not good at all. And I should tell listeners that just to go to our website and for further information on facts about House Bill 5615, The bill is scheduled to be heard today in the House Human Services Committee, and actually that committee hearing started at 8:30. I don't know if they'll take up the measure today. If they don't, they will likely take it up next Wednesday. So members of the House Human Services Committee, or for that matter, any member of the Illinois General Assembly, the House, is the appropriate phone call to make, and just expressing a concern about House Bill 5615 to oppose it. What the bill does, and I'll be just really brief.
Bob, actually, we need to head to a break now, and then when we come back, we've got some calls on the line, and we welcome your questions and phone calls, friends, at 312-751-1979. When we come back, we're going to have more with Bob Gilligan from the Catholic Conference of Illinois on this new bill, which is really relevant to all of us who believe in the gospel of life. So stay with us. We'll be right back here on Life Talk.
Real men answer the call to the priesthood. Is God calling you?
You know, I'm honored to be a priest for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I think it's great.
There's a desire to want to give back and to help and to serve those who are especially in need.
I think there's a wonderful opportunity for us to bring good news to a world that's very much in need.
When I experience through my ministry someone being brought closer to the Lord, it's an exciting, thrilling moment.
If you feel God's call to a priestly vocation, contact us at 312-751-8298 or visit our website at chicagopriest.com. John Paul II once said, "Do not be afraid. Open your heart to Christ. The deepest joy there is in life is the joy that comes from God. Jesus is the hope of the world. The people are calling. The world is calling. God is calling. Answer the call to the priesthood."
Get the tools you need to be a strong advocate for the gospel of life. Join us on Saturday, March 8th for a Humanae Vitae celebrating 40 years, a special day of education, inspiration, networking, and fellowship sponsored by the Respect Life and Evangelization Offices of the Archdiocese of Chicago. Dr. Peter Kreft, professor of philosophy at Boston College, will engage us on how to win the culture war, focusing on the landmark encyclical Humanae Vitae, which is a profound catechesis on married love. We'll also hear from Bob Gilligan, Executive Director of the Catholic Conference of Illinois, and our beloved Archbishop Cardinal George. The conference is located at St. Lambert Parish in Skokie. For more information, call the Respect Life office at 312-751-5355 or go to www.archchicago.org. Join us on Saturday, March 8th to learn how you can be an advocate for this message of love. We are back with Life Talk here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. I'm Mary Louise Curry talking with Bob Gilligan about House Bill 5615. And friends, you just heard another plug for our great conference coming up this Saturday, Humanae Vitae, celebrating 40 years. This landmark encyclical that was written by Pope Pius VI and which John Paul II had a major role in when he was Karol Wojtyła before he became Pope. This is such an important event. We're going to have great speakers. Peter Kreft, the internationally renowned author, Deirdre McQuaid, who's the USCCB pro-life spokeswoman, who's going to be with us for the second half of the show. Cardinal George will be speaking as well. It's going to be terrific. It's just going to be a great day. And you can still register for this event. It's only $25, including lunch and materials. What a deal. At St. Lambert Parish in Skokie, you can register just by calling 312-751-5355. That's the Respect Life Office's number. 312-751-5355, or go online to www.archchicago.org, and you can download the flyer there and fax it into us. That's archchicago.org. So, Bob, first of all, I just want to invite listeners, you know, this is our last segment with Bob, so if you want to give us a call on this, do so now, 312-751-1979, 312-751-1979. Hey, Bob, I'd like you to just briefly talk about, just give us like a thumbnail sketch of what this bill does before we go to the phones.
Four basic bullet points that people need to be made aware of. Number one, it prohibits the state from regulating abortion or the use of contraception at any stage. It prohibits the state from regulating abortion at any stage of pregnancy. So what that means is if this bill were to pass, the state would be prohibited from enacting such things as parental notification. The state would be prohibited from enacting such thing as a ban on partial birth abortion. The state would be prohibited from requiring a minor to obtain a prescription for emergency contraceptive. That's the main portion of the bill. There's other things. Hmm. It provides for Medicaid funding of abortions. The bill also requires all public schools to offer comprehensive sexual education, and I believe that starts at kindergarten.
Wow.
Incredible. And then the fourth provision, which is kind of murky that we're still looking at, but we believe that it does pertain to workers in Catholic health care, and if an individual refuses to provide certain services, it places obligations on those workers to inform their employer about their moral objections. It would require them to refer for the morally objectionable service to another entity.
Oh, wow.
And some other things as well, and it's probably beyond the scope of this conversation, but basically...
So Catholic hospitals would have to refer people elsewhere to get an abortion, for example?
Well, that could be... that is a distinct possibility. Mm-hmm. It's a little vague in terms of what that is. It doesn't specifically prescribe that, but we mm-hmm. believe that the language is vague enough that we believe that's the intent of the authors of it.
Wow.
We know the people who drafted the bill are clearly not supportive of healthcare right of conscience provisions, and so we believe this is their attempt to gut those.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah, it's not
crazy.
A good bill.
Yeah, that's definitely not pro-choice. It's like saying we don't
right.
let anybody have a choice about doing abortions
good
or anything
point.
Else. That's crazy.
Yep.
Well, we're going to go to the phones first of all. We've got Peter from Stickney. Peter, thanks so much for calling Life Talk today.
Yeah, you're welcome. I just wanted to mention I would have liked to have come Saturday to the Respect Life workshop, but I'm a deacon, and the diaconate is having their convocation this Saturday.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Nuts.
Well,
yeah.
That's bad timing.
Sure.
Thanks for letting us know that, we'd love to have you there.
Yeah, but I wanted to ask Bob about, you know, before the primary, we were passing out position papers.
Mm-hmm.
And after, on Sunday, and after the last Mass, the pastor told us that we couldn't be doing that. That the bishop said all we could pass out was their material. And, you know, people have to be informed and all that. But if the people don't know who the pro-life people are and who the pro-abortion people are, how are they going to know? So what I was wondering is, if we took that position paper and stapled it to the bishop's paper, could we pass that out?
Yeah, the position paper was what, Peter?
Well, it lists all the candidates for all the offices.
Right.
It's from the Illinois Citizens for Life.
Oh.
And it had them ranked 1, 2, 3, or 4. And 1 was, of course, entirely pro-life, and
right,
2 was...
Right, right, I'm familiar
with
it. Yeah.
And so I was wondering if, you know, if that was possible, you know... I know Bishop Papraki is our vicar, and I haven't approached it to him yet.
Yeah. I know the bishops are pretty strong on supporting that document, Faithful Citizenship, and really want people to use it and to become familiar with it and to try to get it into as many hands as possible. And they've come out pretty clearly on that, their desire to use Faithful Citizenship. You know, Peter, and honest at all, Ken, in this, we haven't come across the question of stapling one to the other yet. We haven't even entertained that possibility. But
well,
I can tell you that, by and large, what the bishops will push is, well, I think we'll get some clarity on that fairly soon. I can guarantee we'll get some clarity on it soon. But I can tell you that, you know, by and large, the bishops have really come out in support of Faithful Citizenship and really encourage people to use it.
Yeah, well, you know, it's an excellent document, but if you don't know the names...
Understandable.
What
mm-hmm. Yeah. It's something we've talked about extensively in terms of how can we get information to people that is able to be understood, and it also communicates a message clearly that can't be distorted by other entities, and that seems to be the problem we have, is because I think, as you're familiar with, we feel that we have to cover a wide range of issues, and when we get into that wide range of issues, sometimes the picture becomes more murky in terms of people's support for Catholic positions on other issues. And that's the dilemma we constantly face with this topic, is how do we communicate something that's clear and it's able to be understood by people, yet it doesn't give those that are not pro-life a reason to say they support the Catholic positions.
Great. Peter, thank you so much for calling. We really appreciate your call. And what a great question. And,
it's
you know,
a good one.
Bob, this does highlight, though, how important it is. You know, we see how judges really wield a lot of power in our country. And that's why it's so important to be involved in the legislative process,
right?
Because many of them are appointed. And also to know, you know, many of these positions also are elected. Who's running in your area? And to make an informed decision, because,
yep.
Boy, what an impact these judges have in some certain areas, like parental notice. So, Bob, people probably will want to know more about HB 5615. Where can they go to find that out?
We have this posted on our website. I think it's right on the, what do they call it, the front page there or the home page. It's House Bill 5615. Go to our website. It'll also tell you how to find who your state representative is if you don't know. The website is www.catholicconferenceofillinois.org. It's one word. You can also call our office today or tomorrow, 312-368-1066. Mary Louise is always available, too. Your office is generally very helpful on helping people find who their state reps are, and we can refer you to the position paper on House Bill 5615. If you are uncomfortable articulating some of these provisions on the phone, you can make a very simple phone call. You can call your state rep and just say you're calling to urge them to vote no on House Bill 5615. They'll take your name, your address, and that should be sufficient. So
great.
Don't be deterred from calling and getting involved and becoming more familiar with the issues.
Absolutely. It's so important. And again, friends, to find out more about this so-called Reproductive Justice and Access Act, which is really abortion on demand and every medical worker has to participate with no restrictions, again, go to CatholicConferenceofIllinois.org. You can download, they have just a brief position paper there. You can also put this in your bulletin. I know that
Absolutely.
Many parishes are
yep.
putting this in their bulletin.
Good.
The pastors are even reading it from the podium and preaching on it. It's really an important issue. So we're going to be right back with Deirdre McQuaid from the USCCB talking about Women's History Month, pro-life feminism, and the early feminists. So stay with us. Bob Gilligan, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you, and we'll hopefully see you Saturday.
Great. See you on March 8th. And
Good.
Stay with us, friends. We'll be right back here on Relevant Radio, 950 AM.
Celebrate senior life and spirit. Catholic Charities invites seniors of all faiths to come together in celebration of their golden years. I'm Father Mike Bolan, inviting you to join Bishop Kane and myself for Catholic Charities' annual Senior Unity Mass. It'll be held 10 a.m. Thursday, May 1st at Holy Name Cathedral at State and Superior Streets. For more information, please call 312-655-7010 or visit our website at catholiccharities.net. Help Catholic Charities celebrate senior life and spirit.
We asked people all over America, what have you done for your marriage today?
It's a good question.
I gave a huge hug this morning.
We've actually organized a date night tonight.
I took the baby while she worked.
I sent my husband a love email.
I have carried my wife's purse.
I shopped.
We talked.
I made my wife laugh. She's still laughing.
What have you done for your marriage today? Do something a little special. Get started at foryourmarriage.org. A message from the Catholic Communication Campaign.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
Welcome back to Life Talk, friends. For this wonderfully stimulating second half hour, we have a tremendous guest lined up, Deirdre McQuaid. She is in a very important role with the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops. She's basically the pro-life spokeswoman. Her actual title, I believe, is the Director of Planning and Public Information for the Pro-Life Secretariat. And she has a Master's in Divinity and an M.A. in Philosophy from Notre Dame. And she's done a lot of tremendous work. She was a national program director at Feminists for Life, where she oversaw the college outreach program, and now just a nationally renowned speaker. She's been on a lot of the national programs on Relevant Radio quite a bit. She's appeared on all sorts of media, national media sources with the secular media, and she's here with us today. Deirdre, thanks for being with us on Life Talk today.
Good morning, Mary Louise. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good.
Great. Hey, before you came on the show, by the way, I was commenting that your name is particularly Irish, Deirdre McQuaid.
Deirdre McQuaid.
And you're into Irish music, aren't you?
I am. I play the boron, the Irish drum, and I'm looking forward to playing it a little more frequently in the coming days leading up to the Good Saints Feast Day.
That sounds great. That's right. It's St. Patrick's Day month, and in Chicago, the whole month is a celebration, really.
I wish I were there.
Well, you're going to be. That's what's so terrific. You're coming out this Saturday, flying in from Washington, D.C., to speak about in imitating Jesus in pro-life conversations at our Humanae Vitae Celebrating 40 Years Conference. We're really looking forward to seeing you.
As am I. Right.
Great. Great, great. And your talk's going to be terrific. I know you're just such a tremendous speaker. In fact, it was, I think Alicia had heard you at the Georgetown conference and said, we have to bring her in. And she and Margie were just very excited to have you in. And I just know that those who attend the conference are going to be deeply touched by your presentation and walk away with a greater sense of how to be effective in communicating the gospel of life.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to it. As a teaser, the talk basically models a way of engaging people one-on-one and in small groups based Great. On Jesus Christ's encounter with the woman at the well. And we just had that gospel reading a couple of weekends ago on Sunday, meeting people where they live, starting the conversation where they can kind of handle starting the conversation and respecting that, and then moving on to engaging people based on what they do know and already affirm, because even people who disagree with us often share something in common, and if you find that common thread, you can build on it.
And then
once you do that, then you can also, once you've built some trust up, you can challenge and encourage and exhort people to embrace more of the truth, a fuller expression of the truth, especially when it comes to these vital life issues.
Oh, that sounds tremendous. And that's one of the kind of the major questions I think that everybody has is, you know, how do I talk with my teenage son, my 30-something-year-old daughter, my siblings. How do I talk with people about the gospel of life? People at church, maybe my children's parents, who are friends of mine. So many people struggle with that because in society today, these topics are frankly just misunderstood. So, but how do we bring that message lovingly and effectively? So Deirdre, that sounds great. And for listeners who want to sign up, I really urge you to do so. Peter Kreft will also be speaking, the internationally renowned author, Cardinal George. It's going to be a great day. You can go to www.archchicago for that flyer, the Humanae Vitae Celebrating 40 Years Conference, or just call the Respect Life office, 312-751-5355. We're still accepting registrations over the phone. It's only $25 for the whole day, and it includes lunch and everything. So it's going to be a great day. 312-751-5355 to sign up. But now, Deirdre, we've got to get to the topic at hand, which is Women's History Month. Now, people might think, oh, you're pro-life and you're talking about Women's History Month. Wouldn't you want to be avoiding that? How does this relate? How does Women's History Month relate to the gospel of life?
Oh, in so many ways. I mean, clearly, contemporary feminism, a secular form of it, one secular form of it, has really gone off the rails in terms of...
I love it. That's great.
Well, completely. They've lost sight of the true dignity of women, and they're asserting something false in its place, which is as destructive, if not maybe sometimes more so than the oppression of women that they were fighting in the first place. But that doesn't mean that affirming the dignity of women is at its heart a distorted approach. Really, even in, you know, our charter document from 1995, Evangelium Vitae, John Paul II's encyclical on the gospel of life, he has such a beautiful passage in here from the famous paragraph 99. He says, in transforming culture so that it supports life, women occupy a place in thought and action which is unique and decisive. It depends on them to promote, and he actually uses the F word, a new feminism.
I was a little bit worried for a second there, Deirdre.
Yes, no,
I was like, wait a minute, this is a family program.
Yes, no, a four-syllable F word, the new feminism, which rejects the temptation of imitating models of male dominance in order to acknowledge and affirm the true genius of women in every aspect of the life of society and overcome all discrimination, violence, and exploitation. And then he goes on to say later on, it's the indispensable prerequisite for an authentic cultural change. So we don't have to fear affirming the dignity of women and the unique place that we play in building families, in building culture, in contributing to really building up the kingdom of God.
Perhaps some of our listeners have a question or a comment for Deirdre. We'd love to hear from you. Give us a call, 312-751-1979. That's 312-751-1979. We're talking with Deirdre McQuaid. We're going to be heading to a quick break, friends, and we invite your questions and comments. Pro-life feminism, does it exist? We're going to be talking about this and more with the spokeswoman from the Pro-Life Secretariat of the USCCB, Deirdre McQuaid. Give us a call, 312-751-1979. We'll be right back here on Life Talk on the Catholic Community of Faith.
Michael Fosberg was raised as part of a typical white, middle-class family in Waukegan. When he was in his mid-30s, Fosberg met his biological father, who, much to his surprise, was African-American.
In the one sense, yes, I felt so much fear and confusion, but at the same point, I also felt so much joy and elation, because all my life I have felt connected to African-American people, African-American culture.
Fosberg has turned his unique experience into a critically acclaimed one-person play called Incognito. It deals with race, prejudice, and life's difficult choices. Here's Sister Anita Baird of the Archdiocesan Office for Racial Justice.
It's about the personal journey. And I think the whole struggle as we try to build better race relations really is about the personal journey of every person. And to see how we really are connected. And sometimes even though we don't realize it, we're more connected than we are disconnected.
Experience Incognito on Friday evening, April 4th, at the Holy Name Cathedral Auditorium. Order tickets by calling 312-751-8336. That's 312-751-8336.
You are slaying the dragon. You are going out there and taking on the biggest confrontation of your life. But it is all about who you are ultimately, and your identity is all wrapped up into that.
Do you know what's going on in your church, around the corner, or around the world? Do you want to hear stories about your faith? Do you want to help shape Catholic thought? If you said yes, subscribe to the Catholic New World, the newspaper for the people of the Archdiocese of Chicago. Call 312-655-7777 or visit us at catholicnewworld.com. The Catholic New World, a world beyond your church, a church beyond your world.
We are back on Life Talk, friends, here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. I'm Mary Louise Curry, talking with Deirdre McQuaid of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops Pro-Life Secretariat. And we're talking about Women's History Month and the Gospel of Life. Are these two things mutually exclusive, or is this actually a match made in heaven? So we're talking about this, and we welcome your questions and comments. And we get so many callers, by the way, Deirdre, who have questions but don't want to go on the air. And friends, we understand. You might be feeling a little shy, but Deirdre and I are really nice. So please give us a call, 312-751-1979. We'd love to put you on the air just briefly to ask your question, you know, about pro-life feminism maybe about modern feminism, Catholicism, you know, the church and how it views women. All of these things are things we are discussing today. And Deirdre, before we went to a break, you were talking about John Paul II's point in Evangelium Vitae that women have a very important role in building the gospel of life. And as you said, he used the F word of feminism, which I was a little shocked until you clarified what that was. But it was very interesting, I think. And, you know, do you think that the church's message about the dignity of women differs from that of the world? Is there such a thing? And this is what we were kind of going to the break talking about. Is there such a thing as pro-life feminism?
Well, there is, and the church was not the first to articulate it in a way. The earliest American feminists who were fighting for the right to vote, you know, the suffragettes, who were, without known exception, all of them, you go down the list, Susan B. Anthony, Elizabeth Cady Stanton, none of them was known to support so-called reproductive rights. They all saw abortion as a terrible thing, and the ones who spoke to it in the strongest of terms. If you would indulge me, Elizabeth Cady Stanton talked about how even, this is 100 years before my birth, in 1868, she was noting that a doctor in a largely rural district, a rural county, had estimated that there were as many as 400, this is a quote, there were 400 murders annually produced by abortion in that county alone. And then she goes on to say, now this is remarkable, there must be a remedy for such a crying evil as this. But where shall it be found, at least where begin, if not in the complete enfranchisement and elevation of woman? What they were saying, that's the end of the quote, what they were saying is, they saw abortion as part of the exploitation of women, not something that freed them.
Yes.
And so that's what I said about contemporary feminism going off the rails. Abortion has been flipped on its head. It's been inverted, and reproductive rights more broadly, as if it's a ticket to freedom. But we know, grounded in our Catholic anthropology, our vision of the human person, that human life is a gift. My own life is a gift. My body is a gift. The relationships I'm entrusted to and that are entrusted to me are all gift. And so it's not something I am called to control and manipulate, but to treat as a good steward. These are gifts given to me from God, and I'm called to give them back to Him as a gift.
Yes.
And so all that, what can sound like lofty language, is the very real and tangible background for being able to critique and fulfill what's incomplete in secular feminism, which is that fundamentally, not just women, but women and men have a dignity that can't be taken away, it can't be given or added to by other human beings, it can be violated. But our dignity as men and women, made in the image and likeness of God, both is because we're made like Him to love and to know and to be in relationship with God and with others, and that we're called to be with God forever in heaven. It's a worldly and otherworldly perspective, and feminism, the kind of distorted secular version of that, it doesn't even go there. It doesn't set the human in that context. So as soon as you take that context out, you're already distorting the notion of the human person. And
It's an incomplete view of women, I think, and modern feminism is. I think that's why we see so many young women today, like you and I, for example, rejecting modern feminism and looking back to what is an authentic feminism of the early feminists. We'd love to get you in on this conversation. Give us a call, 312-751-1979. We're talking with Deirdre McQuaid of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops. She's the pro-life spokeswoman. And we have a caller on the line, Nick from Forest Park. Nick, thanks so much for calling Life Talk.
Thank you for your discussion of pro-life feminism. I would like to mention the name of Joan Andrews Bell, Mrs. Joan Andrews Bell, a dear friend of mine. I regard it as a privilege to know her. From 1981 to 1991, Mrs. Bell when she was a single woman of in her late 30s and early 40s, went to prison more than 120 times trying to save babies from abortion.
Wow.
There's a book written by her, written by a friend of hers, called You Reject Them, You Reject Me, Her Letters from Prison. Unfortunately, it's out of print. But Richard Cowden Guido assembled her letters from prison to her friends. She's a dear lady, and she finally got married in 1991 and has adopted 5 children.
Wow,
and
praise God. That's so beautiful.
Joan Andrews Bell is working with her husband, Chris. Chris Bell with Good Counsel Homes in New Jersey, in Hoboken, New Jersey.
Yes.
And I would like to mention her name because I hope she's never forgotten, because she was all alone, and she went to prison all alone more than 120 times, and she would never, ever agree to any form of probation. Mm-hmm. She would say, it's a scandal for you to ask me not to... to promise not to go to try to save babies. She would sit down in front of the doors of these death camps and not move. And she was dragged away. She's totally nonviolent. She's a complete pacifist. And anyone who knows her would be astounded to see how gentle and kind she is. And they would think someone who'd been to prison so many times would be hard-bitten and tattooed and everything else. But she's the most gentle, kind, wonderful lady. She's self-effacing. She never takes credit for anything. And she was my hero, and she was the hero of all of us in Operation Rescue back in the 1980s and early 1990s, when we still had hope of a real pro-life victory in this country. And we're never going to give up, but we'll never have that kind of hope like we did in with Joan Andrews Bell.
Well, Nick, thank you so much for your call. I think that's really inspiring, except for your last comment. I think we do still have great hope. I mean, I think we're on the verge of a real tipping point, if you will, in our country today. But what a beautiful tribute you have given to Joan Andrews Bell. And I am familiar with Chris Bell and those wonderful maternity homes. That's a phenomenal story. I didn't know that. So, Nick, thanks so much for your call.
Did you know that they got married and they had their reception in the back of the church potluck, and they took vows of voluntary poverty?
Oh, wow.
Both of them.
That's amazing.
They asked their friends not to give them any wedding gifts.
Wow.
Nick, thanks for writing that chapter of women's history.
And they've adopted a child from Mexico without arms, Emiliano.
Oh, wow. A handicapped
child. So I hope this book has somehow gotten back into print. It's called You Reject Them, You Reject Me, Prison Letters of Joan Andrews. Richard Cowden Guido, Cowden-Guido is the author, and unfortunately it's out of print.
Thanks for the resource, Nick.
That's great. Thank you so much, Nick.
This book, you'd never forget it.
Great, great. I'm sure it sounds very inspiring. And friends, that's a great idea. You know, maybe you know of some pro-life feminist that you would like to pay tribute to. Now is the time to call 312-751-1979. As we're talking about authentic feminism with Deirdre McQuaid from the USCCB. And when we come back with Deirdre, we're going to be talking a little bit more about Women's History Month and authentic feminism and how the gospel of life goes hand in hand with all of these things. So stay with us, friends. And by the way, give us a call, 312-751-1979. We're heading into our last segment with Deirdre. So don't wait. Call now and stay with us, because we'll be right back here on Relevant Radio, 950 AM.
Real men answer the call to the priesthood. Is God calling you?
You know, I'm honored to be a priest for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I think it's great.
There's a desire to want to give back and to help and to serve those who are especially in need.
I think there's a wonderful opportunity for us to bring good news to a world that's very much in need.
When I experience through my ministry someone being brought closer to the Lord, it's an exciting, thrilling moment.
If you feel God's call to a priestly vocation, contact us at 312-751-8298. Or visit our website at chicagopriest.com. John Paul II once said, "Do not be afraid. Open your heart to Christ. The deepest joy there is in life is the joy that comes from God. Jesus is the hope of the world. The people are calling. The world is calling. God is calling. Answer the call to the priesthood."
Get the tools you need to be a strong advocate for the gospel of life. Join us on Saturday, March 8th for a Humanae Vitae celebrating 40 years, a special day of education, inspiration, networking, and fellowship sponsored by the Respect Life and Evangelization Offices of the Archdiocese of Chicago. Dr. Peter Kreft, Professor of Philosophy at Boston College, will engage us on how to win the culture war, focusing on the landmark encyclical Humanae Vitae, which is a profound catechesis on married love. We'll also hear from Bob Gilligan, Executive Director of the Catholic Conference of Illinois, and our beloved Archbishop Cardinal George. The conference is located at St. Lambert Parish in Skokie. For more information, call the Respect Life office at 312-751-5355 or go to www.archchicago.org. Join us on Saturday, March 8th to learn how you can be an advocate for this message of love. Welcome back to Life Talk, friends, as we are in the home stretch of this program. I'm Mary Louise Curry, talking with Deirdre McQuaid of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops Pro-Life Secretariat, and we are talking about pro-life feminism during Women's History Month. What a great topic! And Deirdre, during the break, we got a caller. She was feeling a little shy, didn't want to go on the air, but she asked about the impact of the birth control pill on young women and the health of young women, and I thought that was a very interesting topic. It is related to what we're talking about in terms of reproductive rights, although there's certainly sort of a bright line, I think, in terms of abortion. It's clearly the killing of an innocent human being, but still, there is certainly a link there. Could you talk a little bit, just briefly, about what we know about the impact of birth control on the health of young women? Since there was such a great push for this, the pill was supposed to be such a great, thing for women. What's it doing?
Well, I'm not a medical specialist, and I've not focused on the impact on women's health, so my response will be a little broader, culturally speaking.
Sure.
Which is that, again, like we said before, so-called reproductive rights were offered as a way of freeing women, and the pill was really kind of, the birth control pill that started in the 50s and then really took off in the 60s. Was offered as a way to somehow free women, help them supposedly take more control of their reproductive lives, et cetera. But at the same time, we were also growing in knowledge of what the female fertility, the reproductive system and her fertility, and being able to have visible and discernible signs of when a woman is fertile and when she's not. And so what really is empowering is not devices and drugs that control or manipulate or treat our fertility as something to be turned on and off like a faucet,
mm-hmm.
at will,
mm-hmm.
but as part of that gift of our bodies, the gift of our sexuality,
mm-hmm.
The gift of our potential motherhood, that we would work with that and not against it.
That's a great point, actually.
So natural family planning is one way that women can be aware of their signs of fertility, and there are different ways of doing that. I won't get into all that. But, it's really worth being aware. It's a very empowering thing. I mean, this is a feminist kind of an adage to say that knowledge is power, and here it's empowering in a way that serves living as an embodied person, according to, treating our bodies as a gift and treating our relationships as a gift and always remaining open in marriage to the gift of life.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's beautiful to know, NFP, it respects me as a woman in our marriage, that I'm not just somebody totally available all the time, but that we can use the cycle of my body as a woman, the fertile and infertile times, to plan a family. It's just a beautifully empowering thing for women. And if any of our listeners want to find out more, just do a search on natural family planning, or you can go to omsoul.com, one more soul. That's a great website. website that has a lot of great information. Or you can call the Family Ministries office at the Archdiocese of Chicago. The general number is 312-751-8200. Find out more about natural family planning. It's awesome. Hey, Deirdre.
Just one more little thing.
Yes.
If people ever make an argument to you, well, to reduce abortions, we need to just have more contraception out there for teenagers, for poor people, et cetera. People make this argument all the time.
Right.
I find it terribly offensive. But it's not only morally offensive, it's wrong. Greater access to contraception has never, ever in any study done by anybody out there, including its proponents, shown to reduce either pregnancy rates or abortion rates.
Absolutely. And I think that's something that we really need to get the word out on, because that myth is all over the place. Deirdre, we just have less than a minute to go. Any final words about how, we can, as young women, embrace this new, authentic, Christ-centered feminism, a pro-life feminism?
Well, give thanks to God for the gift of your femininity, and ask the men in your life to do the same. And serve the pro-life cause however God's given you the gifts to do so. Not all of us are called to do every kind of work, whether it's counseling or fundraising or political advocacy. But discern, where is God calling you to serve, to volunteer, to contribute your resources? And appreciate the way that other people do it. But I would just say the four ways you can are public information, public policy, pastoral care, and prayer. Always pray for a transformation of the culture.
Great. Deirdre, thank you so much. Deirdre McQuaid from the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops Pro-Life Secretariat. She's going to be speaking at our conference on March 8th. Friends, thanks so much for being with us today on Life Talk.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day, and God bless you.